Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we began a new topic at the lower part of Samach Gimel Amid Beis. In our title, our topic heading that we have added to our pre-mark Gemaras, you'll notice at the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis a no say. And for the sake of review, in order to get back into the topic, we have a topic heading, Sochroi Lishbor B'Yayin Esech. Someone was hired to break barrels of forbidden wine of Yayin Esech. Haim Soch Schoro Muter are the wages that he will receive for this, for these services allowed. After all, he is interested in the Yayin Nesech being around until he gets to it. After all, if the barrels break and the wine spills out before he gets to it, there will be no basis for him to receive any wages. So you have someone here that is interested in receiving pay for something that he wants to be around until he gets to it. In this case, he wants the Yayin Esech. So does that affect matters? So the question was posed last in our previous shiur, and we saw Rav Nachman offer an answer, and he said two lines from the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Omer Rav Nachman Yishbor V'tovo Lo Brocha. Let him break it and get paid for it and even get blessed for it. In other words, Rav Nachman sees this in a positive light. At this point, the Gemara with which we will be beginning, namely here at the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, we notice a geometric form, a bow tie form. This indicates, as is explained on the side, Divrei Siyua Lipsak Shel Rav Nachman B'Sheila Hanochachis. The Gemara will attempt to support Rav Nachman's Psak Din, his legal verdict, from a couple of sources. So we have one over here where the Gemara says Leimu Masale. The Gemara eventually, at the upper part of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, will reject this and suggest it's not a definitive support for Rav Nachman's Psak. However, the Gemara on the further down on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, also close to the top part of the page, you'll notice another bow tie form, at which point the Gemara will suggest a support for Rav Nachman's Psak from another point of reasoning, and this will be a successful attempt. After that, the Gemara will then, on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, present a second question, and that's represented by the house form, the second of three of these house forms, which we indicated already in our, the end of our previous year, that we'll be seeing a series of questions that this group of rabbis were dealing with. So now we continue with the Gemara inside, second line from the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Leimo Mesayale, can we suggest that we can show a support to Rav Nachman's lenient ruling that the wages are allowed, even though he is interested in the maintenance of something that is essentially is forbidden to get benefit from? In that case, in our case, we were dealing with Yayin Nesech. In this case, the Gemara now will continue to discuss an issue of kilayim. The Rishonim deal with an issue here, it's a technical question. The kilayim, that's a mixed breeding or crossbreeding of agricultural products. Is this in fact kilei hakerem or kilei zroim? The Tosfos deals with this particular issue at the bottom of this omid. However, we'll just refer to it as kilayim, that is something that's generally speaking not allowed, certainly not allowed to cultivate. We have a source that says, Ein oidrin im ho'ivet kechovim bekilayim. One is not allowed to till the ground, to dig the ground around kilayim plants. Before we go any further, we ought to note that this lemo mesele is a question. It's a, in this case, a suggestion. What we've done with our markings, you'll notice a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a word positioned in a small bow tie. The hatsa'ah means a suggestion, and it goes down several lines down the top of Samach Dalet. That indicates that all of the lines that are opposite of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line are part of this suggestion. At the end of the long marking, in the middle of the line, the Gemara will then reject this. But in the meantime, we have a Tanaic source, as you can see. It's also in a frame that, as we just said, one is not allowed to till the ground together with a Gentile in Kilayim. Aval oikrin imoy kidei limrote es hatifla. However, one is allowed to uproot the Kilayim plants in order to reduce the tifla, that which is undesirable. In this case, the Kilayim plants are undesirable. Rashi points out at the top, Aval oikrin lahashlichon leibud, to uproot them in order to throw them out. V'afagav deroitza b'kiyumon shelo yakru me'aleim ad she'akrim hu. Even though this gentleman who's helping the Gentile is interested in this forbidden item, the kilayim, to be around, to be maintained until he comes to do the uprooting. So we have a parallel case of roitza b'kiyumon, and it's okay. The Gemara continues, Savrua Ha'amani, Rabbi Akiva Hi. The assumption in developing this support is that this source is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva's teaching, Diomar, Rabbi Akiva has said, Hamekayim b'kilayim loike, that one who maintains kilayim, if one has crops that are crossbreeded or mixed-bred crops, and he simply maintains them, cultivates them, in other words, not just planting them, but helping them along, maintaining them, is also worthy of malchus, of being lashed. So we're making an assumption that mikayim b'kilayim is loke, is punishable. That will enable us to easily parallel the case of kilayim to the case of the yayin esech. It's also where it's a case he's rotze b'kiyumo. He wants it to be maintained. He wants the barrels of forbidden wine to continue to be around until he gets to it. And we see from over here that it's allowed. It said, the source said at the top, that one is oikrinimo, one is allowed to uproot the kilayim plants and together with the Gentile, and we'll assume for right now he's going to do it and get paid for it, and it's okay, even though it's a situation where we're dealing with kilayim. It's a situation that in general the maintenance of it is punishable. But since you are coming along to get rid of it, so in that interim period where you are interested in the maintenance of it, that particular prohibition of wanting the maintenance of it is waived in favor of the final result, namely of your coming to get rid of it. If we've seen a bracketed section, if we just skip that momentarily, and we continue with the Gemara right after it, we see the ilu limute tiflo shari, that even though Rabbi Kiva holds that the maintenance of kilayim is punishable, but since the case here involves the ridding of it, that's limute tiflo, it is okay. And we can then draw a parallel to Rav Nachman's psak, that even though the maintenance of Yayin Esech is certainly not desirable, but since he's coming to get rid of it, he is allowed to get paid for that, even though in the interim he's interested in its maintenance. At that point in the Gemara will then say lo, and it will reject what we said. But before we go on, let's go over the bracketed section. The role of these brackets are explained by the note that we have in the margin, where you'll notice a star. Let's read the note. It says, Hasograim mi'adim kedei ledaleg. The purpose of these brackets is in order to skip initially, litzor retzef b'mishpat, in order to create a continuity in the sentence. Umemela hoychacha da'afilu imroitze b'kiyumo osir. Even, and to point out that even if a rotza b'kiyumo is usur, is generally speaking not allowed, like we see shitas Rabbi Akiva, in the maintenance of the kilayim is forbidden. Mutar lekabel schar lemutei tifla. It still is allowed. One is allowed to receive pay for its eventual elimination. Now, in the bracketed section, the Gemara provides the background for shitas Rabbi Akiva concerning mekayim bekilayim. So let's now see the bracketed section. Disanya, the source says Hamenachesh v'amechape bekilayim loke, that one who is menachesh, he weeds out after something's been planted, he weeds out the undesirable grasses that are growing around there, or he thins them out for their benefit. V'amechape, one who covers the soil. Bekilayim, if you're dealing with kilayim plants, mixed bread plants, loke. He is punishable by lashes. Rabbi Kiva Omer, af hamikilayim, af hamikayim. Rabbi Kiva says, not only doing these actions, but any actions that serve to maintain the kilayim is punishable by lashes. My time of Rabbi Kiva. So what's the basis for Rabbi Kiva's teaching? Omar kro, sodecho lo sizra kilayim. That's a pasuk. We've actually written the pasuk on the inside margin. You'll notice Vayikra Yutes, pasuk Yutes says, Es chukoisai tishmoru behemtecha lo sarbia kilayim. That's a warning against mixed breeding animals. Sodecha lo sizra kilayim, and your fields you shall not plant with mixed bred crops. So the end of the pasuk says, Sodecha lo sizra kilayim. That's a warning against planting in a mixed bred fashion. The Gemara goes on and says, "Ein li ela zoreah." From this, I would say that the only restriction is the planting of it. Mekayim minayim, the maintenance of kilayim. Also, from where do we know that that's punishable? Talmud Lomar, kilayim sodecha lo. If you look at the pasuk as we've written it on the side, you would take the expression, the word kilayim, just before the word sodecha. In other words, it's the mixed breeding that's coming at the end of the warning concerning mixed breeding animals. You take that word kilayim in isolation and attach it to the continuation of the pasuk, as was just done in the Gemara, and you come out saying kilayim sodecha lo, which means that mixed bred plants in your field there shall not be, which is an additional warning not even to maintain them. So we have a source at the top of this page that said Avo Oikunimo. Assuming that source is Rabbi Akiva, you nevertheless see the Ilu Lim Ute Tiflashari, that same source, which is allegedly according to Rabbi Akiva that prohibits the standard maintenance of kilayim, is saying that to reduce it, to eliminate it, it's okay. Even though, up to the point that you uproot it or get rid of those plants, you are also interested in their maintenance. But it's okay, since you're coming to uproot it. The Gemara now says, loy, that this whole approach is rejected. Ha money, the source at the top, is Rabbonan he. It's the Rabbonan, not Rabbi Kiva. Namely, this is a source or an opinion that holds that Mikayim b'kilayim is mutter, that the mere maintenance of kilayim, as opposed to the planting of them, if one merely maintains it, that's okay. Therefore, we don't have a parallel from the kilayim story to the Yayin Nesech story, which is an issue. In the case of Yai Nesech, there was an issue of maintaining it. This is an opinion that doesn't object to the maintaining of something. The Gemara asks, E Rabbonon my Irya Oikrin, if the source is according to the Rabbonon, then why does it teach the we'll say it the most obvious situation of Oikrin, that's it's okay to uproot, Afilu Kiyumi Nami Shapir Domi, even the maintenance of it would have been okay, which would have been a more appropriate thing to teach. In other words, teach me something that has a greater chiddush, greater novelty to it than that which is obvious. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinan, the case above is talking, the case above that features merely okrin, that the uprooting is okay. What is it talking about? It's talking about a special circumstance. Here, what is it talking about? Kagoin de ka'ovid b'chinam, Rabbi Yehuda hi. The person featured in the source that said one is not allowed to till with the Gentile in the Kilayim crops, we're talking about someone who is not getting paid at all. He's doing something for nothing. And it's also according to Rabbi Yehuda, do you Amar, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Liten lehem matnas chinam osir, that to give Gentiles gifts for nothing, or in our case, services rendered for nothing, that is not allowed. So, if you'll then look at the source in this new light, we're talking about someone who's volunteering services alongside a Gentile, helping out a Gentile. One is not allowed to offer services for nothing. However, if it's an issue of uprooting and throwing out the kilayim, then that's okay, and only that's okay, because we're dealing with someone doing it for nothing. The Gemara, though, turns back to our topic and says, listen, we can use this information all the same to offer a support to Rav Nachman's ruling. Mida Rebbe Yehuda nishma l'Rebbe Kiva. Let us extrapolate and draw a parallel from Rebbe Yehuda and conclude something concerning the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva was parallel to the issue of the Yayin, to the our Shaila, our question concerning the Yayin Nesech. In what sense? Rabbi Akiva spoke about the maintenance as being prohibited, and the issue of the Yayin Nesech also would be a case of, in general, maintenance of it being not acceptable, being something, the Yayin Nesech being something that one has to get rid of. And let us continue in the Gemara and see what the point of this new support will be. Notice we have a long marking, the word Hatza'ah, written into the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in a bow tie with a vertical dashed line. That indicates that these next several lines are designed to develop this support idea to Rav Nachman. How does the Gemara do this? The Gemara says, L'mida Rabbi Yehuda, nishma l'Rabbi Kiva. From Rabbi Yehuda's stance, let us extrapolate and determine something concerning Rabbi Akiva. Lav Omar Rabbi Yehuda, didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, Osir litein lohem matnas chinam, that it's forbidden to give Gentiles gifts and offer them services for nothing? That is true. Avolimute tifel shapi adami. But even though he has a restriction, there is a slight opening, there's a relaxation of his restriction when it comes to the reducing of that which is not acceptable. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, who restricted offering services for nothing, nevertheless, you're allowed to offer those services for nothing if it's a question of reducing the tifla, reducing the kilayim, the undesirable. That's avolimute tifla shapir domi. Oh, with that then, let's continue. L'Rabbi Kiva nami. We can then, looking at Shitas Rabbi Kiva, Afagavim Rabbi Kiva hamekayim b'kilayim loke, even though Rabbi Kiva has his prohibition, and that is the maintenance of kilayim is generally speaking prohibited, when it comes to Limute Tifla, Shabir Domi, let's use the same logic and say that when it comes to the reducing of the undesirable, it's okay. Now, this parallel is held, is felt by the Gemara to be very solid. The su lo midi, and there's nothing more to say on the topic. Therefore, the question was asked, what about receiving wages for the breaking of Yayin Nesech barrels, even though in the interim, till he gets there, he's interested in it being maintained? The Gemara's conclusion is, it is okay. Hodur Yasvi Vokamibai Elohu. This group of Rabbonim that were sitting together, that we saw on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amid Beis, are found once again sitting, and the question was raised. Demei Avodis Kechovim Biyad Oyvei Kechovim Mahu. What is the status of money received for idols? In other words, for the sale of an idol that's in the hands of a Gentile. That's the demei, the money of idols. In the hands of Gentiles, what is the status of that money? Mi toifesis domeho biyad oivik yuchovim olo. Does the prohibition of idols cling unto the money received in exchange for those idols when you're dealing with money in the hands of a Gentile? Maybe by mere background, we can say that if a Jew had an idol and he sold the idol, the money he would get in exchange for the idol is also forbidden. And that's what we mean by this expression of it's the Isser is toifes es domeha. The prohibition of idolatry clings onto the money as well. Does that same phenomenon exist when you're dealing with Gentiles. Amarlu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman answered, and you can see the double underlining is another one of our series markings, as we saw Rav Nachman at the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, also with the same double underline. So he answers, Mistabra demevaris kechovim biadovik kechovim mutarin. It's most likely that the money that a Gentile gets for the sale of an idol is allowed. At this point, we have a new geometric form. We have a diamond with a colored in tip. We have also on the side a topic heading and structural note. The topic heading is Goy Shemocher Avodah Zorah, a Gentile who sells an idol. Demein Mahen Bahano. What is the status with regard to the cash as far as Hano is concerned? Mivneh, the structural note, we have the diamond featured with the colored in tip. You can see it's explained. Attempts of the Gemara to suggest, like Rav Nachman ruled, that the money is mutter. The Gemara continues. Midahano de osu lekame de rabo bar avua. There were some Gentiles that were interested in converting to Judaism that came to Rabo avua, Omar Lahu, and Rabo told them, Zilu zavinu kol ma de islahu, vesu is gairu. Go and sell all of your possessions and then come and convert. My taima, why did he suggest them before converting that they should sell all of their possessions and get cash for it? Lav mishum de kosovar, is it not because he holds the may avodas kechovim biad ovei kechovim mutarin, that the cash received for idols while in the hands of an idol worshiper, a Gentile, that the cash is mutar? And therefore he suggested, listen, before you convert, get cash, and the cash that you'll be in possession of will be okay, it'll be allowed. Because if you wait till you convert and then try this, it won't work. The Gemara says you can't bring any raya from that case to general cases of Gentiles selling off their idols. The Dilma Shiny Hossam, that case might have been different. The Kevon de Daite Ligure, since the Gentile there in the story of the fellows that came to Rabo Bar Avua, they were interested in converting to Judaism. Therefore, Vadai Botla, they definitely canceled the significance of the idol beforehand. However, a rank-and-file Gentile that's not interested in converting to Judaism, there's no guarantee that he necessarily was mevatel the Avodah Zarah before he sold it, and therefore it's not sufficient, the case that involved Rabo Bar Avua and the people converting is not a sufficient parallel to standard cases of Gentiles selling off idols, where we say they're not necessarily mevatel them. Well, let's try from the following source. Yisrael she'enoshe be'ovei kechovim mona u'mochar. A Jew was trying to collect a debt from an idol worshipper. Let's try to collect a mona, let's say $100. U'mochar, and the Gentile sold off. We have two examples. Aleph, avodas kechovim v'hevilo, he sold off some idols, and the cash they got for them, he then came to the Jew and paid off his debt. Beis, a second case, yayin esef v'hevilo, or he sold off forbidden wine and got cash for it and then paid off the Jewish creditor. Mutter, it's okay. So from here we see that the money that the Gentiles sold, received for the sale of idols, is okay. And hence, it's not tofesis es domeha. Aval im omar lo, if, however, the following was said, let's say the Gentile who owed money said to the Jew, hamtein li ad she'emkor avodas kechovim v'avilach, wait until I sell my idol and then bring you the cash, or he says, wait, yayinesech v'avilach, wait until I sell off my forbidden wine and then bring you the cash, osir, that would not be allowed. That's already a different story. There's a situation where the Jew is roitze b'kiyumo, he wants it to be maintained, and that would create a problem. However, the basic issue of does the Avodah Zarah sale and hence Avodah Zarah prohibition cling unto the cash received in its exchange, that does not happen, as we saw from the point that was dashed, underlined in the ratio, the first part of this source. The Gemara asks, Maishno ratio, Maishno Seifa? Why in the ratio is the money allowed, and in the Seifa where the Gentile says, hey, just wait for me, then we say it's not allowed? Omar Rav Sheshes. Before we go further, we have a new geometric form that we are encountering now in light of this question of Maishno Reisha, Maishno Seifa. On the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading, you can see two triangles featured in opposite directions. Ma'akav, this is an attempt to keep track. Acharei Hamasu Matan, the give and take, the question, the answer, question-answer style of the Gemara. With the question, with the triangle pointing upwards, we will call them Tshuvos, answers, and with the question, with the triangle pointing downwards, we'll refer to them as Kushos, as questions. So the question was asked, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Rav Sheshes offers an answer. Seifa mishum dahavile ki roitza b'kiyumo. In the case of the Seifa, it was forbidden because the Jewish creditor was interested in the maintenance of the idols or the forbidden wine, the Ayin Nesech, until their sale. And that creates a problem. The Gemara asks, we have a long question, you can see we have a kuf encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical dashed line, indicating the next few lines of Gemara are part of a question. And a case of roitza b'kiyumo, notice we use a singular quotation marks around the two words roitza b'kiyumo to indicate an idea, a phrase. So is the maintenance in this fashion, ki haigavno, in a way like was featured, is that really forbidden? V'hotnan, we have the following source. Ger v'ovei kechovim sheyorshu avien ovei kechovim, a converted person and a Gentile that inherited their father who never converted, their father the idol worshipper. Ger yochol loimar loi, the ger, who the fellow who's Jewish, can say to his biological Gentile brother, Tol ato avidus kechovim v'ani mois. Listen, there's an estate that's being divided here. You take the idols, and I'll take the cash. Tulata yoyanesa vani peros. You take the barrels of forbidden wine, and I'll take the fruits. So it says in this source that that is allowed. However, im mishibol rishus hager oser. If, let us say, they divided everything before this deal was made, and then the ger says, hey, what am I going to do with idols? So he then tries to make the exchange with his Gentile brother, the Gentile biological brother. It will not work. But we see in the ratio, which is what we want to emphasize, and we've done this with our dashed underline, where it says the ger yocholomar. Now, is it not so that the Gentile is, the ger, that is, the converted fellow, is interested in the maintenance of the idols? Of course he's interested in the maintenance. He wants, if his brother doesn't take the idols, so he won't get the exchange value, the cash for it in that estate. So we see from here that rotsa b'kiyumo is not necessarily something forbidden. It's allowed. Omar Rovo Bar Ula. Masnisin ba'avodas kechovim hamischalekes lefi shvoreha. The source that we just read involving idols being a part of an estate that was being inherited by a ger and an ovei kechovim, the idols there were idols that even if they became smashed and hence lose their so-called holiness, they would still have value. Therefore, the ger is not interested in its maintenance. He doesn't care if it falls apart. Even if it falls apart, he will be able to get his cash equivalent of it in the division of the estate. The Rashi cites as an example that the idols themselves were made of valuable metals, like gold or silver, that even if they break, it still will have value. Therefore, it's not an example of rotsa b'kiyumo. The Gemara says, well, Tenach avodas kechovim, that explanation is fit for the idols. There we can say he's really eino rotsa b'kiyumo. But a real rotsa b'kiyumo would in fact be a problem, like Rav Sheshes said. Well, that's a good explanation as far as the idols are concerned. Yayin nesech mai ikol amemar. How do you explain that with regard to wine? There, with wine, if it smashes, the barrels break, the wine flows out, the ger won't be able to get an equivalent value of it, and therefore he is interested, he is rotze b'kiyumo, and yet it's allowed, and that would run counter to Rav Sheshes' explanation. The Gemara says, no, in fact, it's not a case of barrels of wine. Rather, becheres hadriani. It's talking about shards that were absorbed with a wine concentrate, which we've seen in a previous Gemara called Cheres Hadriani, so that even though they might have been large pieces of Cheres of clay that absorb the wine, when they break, if they break, it doesn't change whatsoever the value, because they were anyway used as they were anyway broken down into smaller pieces to be used, as we have referred to in the past, as wine tea bags. These pieces of clay that were absorbed with the wine concentrate eventually were dunked in water like you would with a tea bag, and would release their wine concentrate and make a good drink. But for our purposes, he's not interested in the maintenance of clay barrels that were absorbed with the wine concentrate, because they were designed to be broken anyway. The Gemara asks, but still there is an element of rotze b'kiyumo, of interested in maintenance here. V'alo rotze b'kiyumo shelo yignovu v'shelo yovdu. The ger is interested in their being maintained in the sense that they shouldn't be stolen or lost. So there is rotze b'kiyumo over here, and nevertheless, the source indicated where we dashed underline around the several lines up, we have dashed underline Yochol Omar. We saw that it still is allowed, and that would run counter to Rav Sheshes. Notice with our geometric forms, you can see we're in a question mode, and this question represents a question on Rav Sheshes' original answer, that Rotze Bikumo would pose a problem. Here we see Rotze Bikumo, and it seems to be okay. Elo Omar Rav Popa. Rav Popa gives a final answer. Yerushas Hageo Kamris, are you trying to bring a question on Rav Sheshes of Psak, his Rav Sheshes' legal ruling from the case of the Gentile and convert brother that inherited their father? That's called Yerushas Hager, where the ger, the convert, inherits his Gentile father. Shiny Yerushas Hager, the cases involving inheritance from Gentile parents are different. The Akilu Bo Rabbonan. The Rabbonan allowed for leniency where in general leniency would not be allowed. Why is there leniency? Gezeiro Shema Yasu L'Kilkulo. Because we're afraid that if we impose restrictions on a ger, on a convert that's about to inherit a lot of money or items from his deceased Gentile parents' estate, he might decide to go back to his Gentile ways, and so as not to pose too much of a challenge to the convert, we allow for a leniency. In other words, in our case, even though rotze b'kiyumo in general, the desired maintenance of forbidden items generally would impose a restriction, in this case we are waiving that restriction and saying that even though he's rotze b'kiyumo, he wants the maintenance of the idols and the yayinesech, nevertheless we'll allow him to receive the cash value in exchange for them. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a source to support Rav Papa's answer that said, Shiny Yerusha Sager. The source says, Ba'amed Vamamurim Shiyorshu. When do we have this leniency of one, the ger, saying, you take the idols and I'll take the cash value? That's in a case where they inherit their Gentile father. Avol nishtatfu aser. If, however, a Gentile and his biological convert brother have some kind of partnership in something, then they can. And in their partnership, there is some idols and cash. This type of division would not be allowed. So we see that there's a special allowance for the case of Yerusha, for the case of inheritance, as we saw at the bottom of Omid Aleph of Gzeros Shema Yavsur L'Kilkulo. Hodur Yasvu v'chomei bayalu. This is a third question that was posed to those, to the Rabbonin we saw already back on Samach Gimel Amid Beis. The following question was raised: Ger Toshav, Mau Shivatel Avodes Kochavim. A Ger Toshav will be defined at much greater length further down this Amid. You'll actually, if you skim down, you see about half at the halfway mark, a long source begins where the beginning of that source says Eizehu Ger Toshav. What is a Ger Toshav? For our purposes, though, a Ger Toshav is certainly someone who has not converted to Judaism. Even though the term Ger appears in his title, he's called a Ger Toshav as opposed to a standard Ger, or sometimes referred to as a Ger Tzedek. Nevertheless, this is a person that certainly has abandoned idolatry. There are more details and more opinions regarding what is a Ger Toshav, but for our purposes, it's a person that is not an idol worshipper. Rashi at the top says, Ger Toshav, Eino Oved Avodes Kochavim, Ubar Minei Shel Oved Kochavim Hu B'chol Shar Averos. Nevertheless, he is a Bar Minei. He is like an idol worshipper with regard to all other offenses. As we said, this is the subject of further opinions and controversy later in the Gemara, but for our purposes it's sufficient to refer to the Ger Toshav as someone who has abandoned idolatry. Does someone like a Ger Toshav have the power to cancel idols? That's Bittul Avodah Zarah, and that's the question. Mao Shiyavatel Avodah Kochavim. What are the two sides of the question? You can see we've indicated an aleph, and the next line a squiggle underline expression, odum, or maybe beis. Two possibilities. De polach mevatel, de lo polach lo mevatel. Maybe the power of being mevatel is reserved for someone who's polach, who is an actual worshipper. An actual worshipper is granted the power to cancel idols. Someone who's not an actual worshipper cannot. Oidumo. Kol debar minei mevatel. V'hai bar minehu, or it might be explained that anyone who is of a like nature is capable of abandoning, of canceling idols. And a Ger Toshav is considered a bar mineh of the same ilk as an idol worshipper, and only in the detail of actual idol worship they share the difference. But he's not someone that has gone through conversion. So he's, basically we can use the term Gentile, an umbrella term, to include idol worshippers and also non-idol worshippers, but they are similar to each other in that they can both be labeled as a Gentile. So the second part of the second side of the question is anyone who is a bar minei, someone who is of the same general category, can cancel idols. So any Gentile would be able to cancel. Amar lu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman answers, Mistabra de polach mevatel de lo polach lo mevatel. Here Rav Nachman offers a chumrah, a strict response. This is different than the two responses we've seen Rav Nachman offering up till now, which were responses in different questions, of course. There's no necessity necessarily to compare the different topics, but it is sufficient to say that up till now Rav Nachman was offering rulings of a lenient nature, and here he's offering a restrictive ruling. And concludes that lo polach, if someone is not an actual worshipper, lo mevatel, he is not allowed or not capable of canceling. He's not granted the power to cancel. Mesve, we have a new geometric form. We on the side we have a mivneh heading, the triangles featured. Two kushios al Rav Nachman sheposach the Ger Toshav eino yochol levatel. We'll have two questions as the Gemara unfolds, posed to Rav Nachman, who claimed that a Ger Toshav cannot be mevatel. As a result of these questions, before the Gemara reacts to the question, the Gemara will be trying to show that even if someone is not an actual worshipper, even if he's a Ger Toshav, he is able to cancel. So let's see the sources. Meisve, notice of course the triangle, and you see halfway down the page, at the end of the line, you see another triangled Meisve. So we'll see a second question later. This source says, Yisrael Shemotz Avodes Kochavim B'Shuk, a Jew that found an idol in a public area. Ad Shelo Bosu Liyado, if he has not taken physical possession of it, Omer Li'Ovid Kochavim Uvatla, he can turn to an idol worshipper and request of him, cancel it. Mishe Bosu Liyado, Eino Omer Li'Ovid Kochavim Uvatla. But once he's taken possession of it, if the Jew took possession of it, he cannot then turn to the idol worshiper and request his canceling of it. Mipnei Shamru, as it has been said, Oyved kichav mevatel avidus kichavim shelo v'shel chavero. An idol worshiper is able to cancel idols of his own v'shel chavero and his friend. Bein oivda ubein she'ein oivda. This expression will be defined by the Gemara, but for the as for our purposes, let's move on in the Gemara to see how the question develops. My oivda umay she'ein oivda. What does this concluding expression of the source mean? E lema idi v'idi oived kichavim. If the ovda and the ein ovda are idol worshippers, well then hainu sheloi v'shel chavero. It would be then a redundancy, because that was referred to by the expressions shelo v'shel chavero, referring to two idol worshippers. An ovei kikovim can cancel his own idol and his colleague idol worshipper's idol. So the expression shelo v'shel chavero already include two idol worshippers. Therefore, elolav, we rather must conclude ovda, the expression ovda equals ovei kikovim. That's a reference to an idol worshipper. Umai she'eno ovda. And what does that expression mean? Ger toshav. That would be a ger toshav, which was a category of a Gentile, but non-idol worshipper. And from here we see, ushmamino, from this source we conclude, ger toshav nami mevatel, that he does have the capability of canceling. That would run counter to Rav Nachman's psak, which we dashed underlined above, which said, delo palach lo mevatel. The Gemara rejects this. Loi. Both expressions on the final line of that Tanaic source, namely the expression shelo v'shechavero and oivdo v'she'en she'en oivdo, are all references to idol worshippers. Udeko amris, and if you'll then say that if we explain ovdo and she'en ovdo as being idol worshippers, you ask tainu shelo v'shel chavero, then that would be redundant because it's already been featured in the expressions shelo v'shel chavero. Not so. We can explain it this way. Reisha zev v'zeh lepaor v'zeh v'zeh lemarkalis. The expression of shelo v'shel chavero would be an idol worshipper can cancel his own Pa'or is the name of an idol, and his friend's Pa'or idol. Or, another example would be, the idol worshipper can cancel his Markalus, which is another, it's a type of idol, his own Markalus idol, and his friend's Markalus idol. In other words, both idol worshippers, in the case of Shelo v'Shelo Avero, worship the same kind of idol. Seifa, the expressions Oivda and She'en Ovda, is a reference to two idol worshippers, but each one of them is as follows. Zeh lepaor v'zeh lemarkalis. Idol worshipper one worships a paor, and his friend worships a markalis. And the end of the source is telling me that the idol worshipper who worships the paor idol can cancel a markalis idol, even though he doesn't worship, he's not a markalis adherent. However, from this source, we don't see any reference to a Gentile non-idol worshipper. Meisvei? Well, after having defended Rav Nachman against the first attack, let's try another attack. This source is rather long. At the end of the source, the Gemara says, and this is a type of trick that one can do when he uses the Gemara markings, you can skim ahead and see at the end of the source what comment the Gemara makes, which often happens when you have long sources. The Gemara summarizes or focuses on the main point and shares with you the question. So if we do that momentarily, at the conclusion of the source, the Gemara says, "Kotani miha." There's a quote in this source that says, "Ulishar kol dvarov harei hu ka'oved kichavim." With regard to many other things, a ger toshav is viewed as an idol worshipper. Lamai hilchasa, what do we mean that he's viewed as an idol worshipper? He's not an idol worshipper. So what do we mean by this? Lav de mevatel avodas kochavim kovei kochavim. Does it not mean that a ger toshav is able to cancel idols like an idol worshipper is able to cancel idols? Well, you see that we've countered Rav Nachman with this last expression, where we're saying, we've dashed, underlined it, the mevatel avidus kochavim kavi kochavim. Now that we've seen that the Gemara will be asking a question on Rav Nachman's psak, who said that a ger tosha cannot be mevatel, let's see the entire source. Meisvei, ezu ger toshav. How do we categorize, or how do we know who a ger toshav is? Opinion one: kol shekibel olav b'fnei shlosho chaverim, anyone who has accepted upon himself in front of three knowledgeable individuals, shelo la'avoid avodas kechavim, divrei Rabbi Meir, he's accepted on himself to abandon idol worship. Number two, a second opinion. V'chachomim omrim kol shekibel olav sheva mitzvos shekiblu aleim b'nei Noach. Anyone who has accepted on himself the seven Noahide laws, which is more than just the abandoning of idol worship, which is just one of the seven. According to the Chachomim, a ger toshav is not a ger toshav unless he's accepted upon himself all of the seven Noahide laws. The issue of Noahide laws is itself a sugya that's found in Maseches Sanhedrin. 3. Acherim omrim, elu lo bo lichlal ger toshav. These, the aforementioned, have not entered the realm of ger toshav. By the way, in order to be classified, if one is classified a ger toshav, so then Jews would be expected to help support him, offer financial assistance if necessary. And it's pointed out that the former are not considered ger toshav because every human being, even non-ger toshavs, are expected to be non-idol worshippers. All of mankind was commanded not to worship idols. And actually, according to the Acherim, not just idol worship, but all of mankind are commanded to keep the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. So that doesn't necessarily grant one the special status of ger toshav. Elo ezu ger toshav. So according to the Acherim, what is a ger toshav? And if, as we said, what is a ger toshav? And then we would be expected, the Jewish community would be expected to support these kind of people. Answer: ze ger oichel nevelos. Shekibel olav l'kayim kol mitzvus amuz b'torah chutz mi'isur nevelos. Someone who has accepted upon himself all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, with the exception of the consumption of non-slaughtered or unkosher food. Nevelos is an expression referring to animals that don't go through ritual slaughter. So what do we say concerning a ger toshav? Miyachtim etzlo yayin, vein mafkidin etzlo yayin. One can entrust, can leave by them wine, kosher wine, for a short amount of time. Miyachtim is a reference to a short amount of time. However, ein mafkidin, but not for a lengthy period of time. Viafilu be'ir shirubo Yisrael. And one is not allowed to entrust to them wine for a long period of time, even in a city, most of whom are Jews. Avol miyachtim etzlo yayin, but we are allowed to entrust to them for a short amount of time wine. Vafilu beir sheruba ovde kochavim. Even if it's a city that's mostly idol worshippers. There's a bracketed section in the source that the Gemara questions its accuracy, and if we skip it momentarily, it would say yeno kishmono, that the wine of a ger toshav is like his oil, and therefore it is allowed. It's mutar b'hano, meaning that one would be allowed to sell it and enjoy the money value of it. That's as opposed to standard yayin nesech. Let's just go over now the bracketed section, realizing, of course, that it's not accurate. The source, in the brackets, the Gemara says, in commenting on a ger toshav, it says, shmono kiyeno. His oil, olive oil, is kiyeno, like his wine. Which is mashma, by saying things like that, it sounds like the oil is usher. So to this, the Gemara reacts, shmono kiyeno salka daitoch. Are we suggesting that his oil is forbidden like his wine? Shemen miko havi nesach? Does oil become is oil poured to idols? Ela yeno kishmono. What the source is trying to teach is just the opposite, that even his wine, which is something that in general is poured, is used in the service of idols, is allowed like his oil. Namely, that his wine is mutar b'hano. After all, he is not an idol worshipper. Rabban Shimon Omer Yeno. Well, let's go back. We skipped an expression. Ulishar kol davar harehu ka'ove kechavim. And regarding all other things, the harehu, the ger toshav, is viewed as an idol worshipper. Rabban Shimon Omer Yeno Yayinesech. This opinion has a very extreme presentation of the wine of the Ger Toshav. He says that his wine is totally forbidden, like Yayin Esav. Yamri Lo, another version, in the opposite direction, Mutar B'Shtiyah, you can even drink it. Without getting involved with those details, Kotani Miha, it does, however, say in this source, Lishar Kol Dvorav Harehu Ka'ove Kichavim, regarding all other matters, the Ger Toshav is like an idol worshipper. Lamai Hilchaso, what legal ramifications does that have? Lav de Mevata Lavidis Kochavim Kovid Kochavim, does it not mean that he is allowed to, or capable of, or given license to cancel idols, just like a standard idol worshipper has the ability to cancel, to void idols? This is a kasha on Rav Nachman's psak from the upper part of the page, where if you skim back up to the upper part where there was a double underline Rav Nachman and we dashed underline there, it said the lo palach lo mevatel, the one who doesn't worship like a ger toshav cannot cancel. Here we see that he is able to cancel them, to void the idols. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok lo. This is an answer now in defense of Rav Nachman above. This is not the same Rav Nachman. This is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. And he says, we cannot make the assumption like we did that when the source used the expression L'shar kol dvarav hareu ka'ovei kechavim means canceling of idols. But rather, he is considered like an idol worshipper with regard to halachas concerning Eruvin, specifically Eruve Chatzeros. On Shabbos, there is a din derabonan that a jointly held, enclosed, even if it's an enclosed area, but it's jointly held by numerous people, one must make an Eruv Chatzeros, which is a symbolic gesture whereby everyone is considered joined together, and food is used in order to indicate this. Some food is set aside on behalf of all of the different participants, or everyone contributes some food, and it's put together in one specific location, in one of the houses that open onto this particular joint-held courtyard, and that joins them together, enabling the residents to carry in and out from their houses to the courtyard back and forth. That's the general idea behind Eruv Chatzeros. We know that if a Gentile is a member of the courtyard, so he doesn't participate in the Eruv Chatzeros. On the other hand, he upsets the ability for the residents to join together. So how does one deal with a situation like that? Let us continue in the source and see some of the details from which we'll eventually see what we mean by a Ger Toshav being like an Ovei Kechavim. Uchidisanya, Yisrael Mumar, a rebellious Jew, Mishamer Shabbat B'Shuk, if he observes Shabbos in public, Mevatel Rishus, he is able to, let us say he doesn't contribute to the Eruv Chatzeros, he is able to yield his holdings in the Chotzer and say, I yield it to the rest of the Jewish owners there. That's called Mevatel Rishus. He voids or cancels his ownership of the Rishus on behalf of the others. She'ein Meshamer Shabbat B'Shuk, however, if he is so rebellious in his observance of Judaism in that, insofar as it is being, he violates Shabbos even in public, then we say Ein Mevatel Rishus. He is not given this ability to Mevatel his Rishus. Mitnei Shomru, as has been said by the sages, Yisrael no sein rishus umavata rishus. A Jew is able to yield his holding, his, let us say, his house to the other members of the chotzer. He can yield his ownership of it to them, so that that would thereby legally remove him as being one of the members of the chotzer, and therefore he doesn't pose a problem. He's considered as if he's not there. If one of the members of a chotzer is a Gentile, then ad shi yiskor. Then there has to be a formal transfer of ownership. Yiskor is usually a reference to rental. Ketzad. Well, how would this be accomplished? How is this yiskor, this formal transfer of ownership, to be accomplished? Omer lo, he would say, Rishusi kenuyoloch, my possession, my hope, my domain in this jointly held area is acquired to you. You acquire it. Rishusi mevuteles loch. If he uses that expression, it's okay. Kona, it works. The ein tzorach lizkos, and there doesn't have to be any further transfer. We have to correct a mistake we just made, that when the Gemara says Ketzad, this is a reference to the Jew. How is he no sein rishus? How does he transfer his ownership through Bittol, and as opposed to the Ovi Kochovim that is Yiskor, that has to do actually a formal rental? So the Ketzad is referring to the Yisrael, not like we said before mistakenly. This is a reference to the Yisrael. How does he no sein rishus? So he says either Rishusi Nesunaloch, Rishusi Mivutelasloch, and he doesn't have to go through anything formal, a formal Kenyan gesture, as opposed to an idol worshipper. He would have to do a formal Kenyan, and we're going to include in that realm a Ger Toshav as well. So in that respect, a Ger Toshav is like an idol worshipper, that he would have to be socher es mekomo. However, as far as the being like an idol worshipper with regard to canceling or voiding idols, he is not like an idol worshipper, just like Rav Nachman ruled above, and hence he would not be able to cancel or mevatel avodah zarah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.